Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, we're going to switch lanes and talk about something that's not audio and not RF, but it has to do with engagement, getting that audience to pay attention to the radio station and engage with the radio station, bringing you more listeners, more time spent listening, eventually, hopefully, more money. Yeah, it's Curtis Maycheck. He's the CEO of Text Groove. He's a radio guy, and he knows what he's doing to engage the audience. That's coming up next on TWRT.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio. Audio problems disappear when you get angry at angryaudio.com. By Nautel, worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support, online at nautel.com. And by MaxConnect Wireless, prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech, the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to that light bulb at the top of the tower. And this week is no exception to talking about how to make radio better digitally. And it may not be what you think, because we've got an expert on who's going to talk about something that engineers typically don't talk about. But I promise if your station does this, you'll probably be tasked with setting it up, making sure it's right, and then you want to give your opinion on how well your station is doing it. Okay, that's enough. I'll divulge now. Isn't the weather gorgeous across most of the U.S.? It's gorgeous. I hope my friends in Florida are okie dokie. Some of them are there riding it out. Let's see, Dave Anderson, Kevin Trueblood is there, Roz Clark. I'm sure plenty of other folks, engineers, TV, radio, and all the first responders are there trying to take care of business and get people out of their demolished homes and get people safe. So we'll keep watching that. And, we engineers, we tend to try to be here to help. So that's our nature. Speaking of here to help, a guy who is Mr. Help himself, it's the Ninjaneer. Chris Tarr. Hey, Chris. Good to see you.
Hey there. You know, based on what you said about our guest today, are you talking about like a plumber? Because bathrooms is the only thing I could think of, because that's what we're all tasked with and what we have.
Yes,
to,
digital bathrooms. Yes. Running.
Yeah. 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 Okay. I just make sure. Greetings and salutations. I'm here at the home office in Maguanago, Wisconsin. Beautiful fall Wisconsin day. It's in the 50s. The leaves are starting to turn up here, which is great because I have to go, believe it or not, there is an up north from here, and that is where I'm going this weekend. And so I should be treated with some spectacular views with the trees and everything. Hopefully I'll be able to get some pictures and get them up on Facebook over the weekend as I do my adventures. But other than that, I'm glad to be here. And so far hearing from I heard from Kevin and Dave and our friends down in Florida, and they seem to be holding out okay, which is good to hear. It's always tough, and these guys, they know what they're doing and handling these things. So good on them. And Charlie Wooten's another guy. So best of luck to them, and I'm sure they're going to come out of this, helping keep their communities informed.
Charlie Wooten's the kind of guy, he needed help during Michael because that came right up his alley. I mean, tore down his STL tower and all kinds of stuff. And people like Charlie Wooten, they tend to be available to give help. I'm not assigning Charlie a task here, but he's up in the panhandle where the hurricane isn't. And right. I just heard a few minutes ago that the hurricane was forming a second eye wall, and this is good. This indicates the falling apart of the hurricane. So it's been a Category 4. It's been decreasing with the eye wall. Looks to be now it could regain strength once it gets back over the Atlantic Ocean. But if as it travels up the Atlantic until it landfalls again, if it does, it's not as destructive because the winds are on the land is over on the side that am I trying to say this? The winds are less on the westerly side of a tornado in the northern hemisphere. So especially if it's traveling up the coast that way. Anyway, hello, Siri.
Siri would like to correct you on that one.
I was just thinking about your bathroom comment, though. If I will rue the day when toilets get IP addresses, because then we will be in charge of taking care of it.
Well, you know, I want one with SNMP so I can know exactly what's going on.
SNM.
A flush was encountered at 11:45, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh,
but I think it'd be great. You know, maybe have it set up to your remote control. A remote flush. You can have, you can make sure the toilet is flush before you go.
Before you go in.
Flush it, walk into a clean bowl. There you go.
That's right. Oh my gosh, what a great idea. Our guest is probably just the guy to invent that. You think? Our guest is a CEO. He's CEO of TextGroove. That sounds like a company that might, you know, incorporate texting in toilets. I could be. I don't know. Is Curtis Maycheck. Hey, Curtis, welcome in, Mr. CEO.
Hey.
It's good to see you.
How's it going? Good good to see you. It's been a while since we've connected on this platform here.
Yeah. The last time you were here, we talked about some kind of cloud-based audio logging, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. I was working on a project called Broadcast Logger at that time, and I believe we had just won the NAB Best of Show, a couple Best of Show awards that year, and we you know had a very successful show, and that was goodness, probably about almost 6 years ago, I think.
You know, that was at a time, Curtis, when I must say I feel like such a Neanderthal now for saying this, but that was at a time when I first saw your product, I thought, wait a minute, we're going to use up internet bandwidth to send a stream 24/7 just to be recorded in the cloud when we could be recording it at our radio station? That seems like a waste of electrons. Doesn't that seem like, with gigabit connections everywhere now, doesn't that seem like a silly concern?
Well, it's hilarious because we, you know, I have a gigabit connection at home, and I host more at home than I do in the cloud now. So it's almost like the opposite. You know, I've got a physical server for as a hobbyist sitting in my garage that is hosting more than locally than I do up on cloud based servers.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about your latest venture, because you're so into radio and so into helping broadcasters to be successful, to increase their share, to increase awareness about them. We're going to talk about a technical idea that what merges technologies we're kind of familiar with, but making sure that we do it in some good ways. Hey, first, real quick, Chris and I are going to chat about Nautel.com. You know, they do these Transmission Talk Tuesdays, but they're taking a little break from those in October, because in October we have a number of trade shows. So Jeff Welton is going to be at these trade shows. So I want to make sure you know about this resources page that they have, actually a resources tab at Nautel.com. If you mouse over the resources button, you'll see a whole list of things. And one of those things is videos. Nautel, like many manufacturers, Nautel's done a superlative job of producing videos to help you, the broadcast engineer. And Suncast is going to scroll through some of these video series on tips and tricks and HD radio and things like the what's that called with the adaptive carrier for AM? How you can save money with that? Oh, look, there's a twerk show
MCDL.
Right there with MCDL. Thank you, Philip Schmidt and Alex Hartman were on one of our shows. Maintenance questions, pre-installation, just the repair process. Where's my manual? Stuff like this. And these are all video series. There's also white papers. Something else is pretty useful there. And Chris, you can mention about tools that are on the Nautel website. What tool do you like to use from their website, Chris?
Oh, they've got a great RF toolbox, and they have this mapping tool that I use all the time. And it generates Longley Rice type of maps. Now, obviously, they're not, you know, scientific or FCC filing grade, but they're great for playing around with kind of what ifs. And for looking at theoretical issues, like, for example, my coworker called and said, yeah, I'm having a hard time. I don't know why we can't get this one of our radio stations at my house. I was able to run the map and show that he lives in a valley and the signal in that area around his house is not very good because of terrain issues. And these maps can do that. And what's great is you can create sites and save them. It remembers the under your account, the sites that you've created. So I've created a bunch of our transmitter sites, and I can start adding things and moving things around, testing out STL links, all kinds of stuff. It is a fantastic free tool, pretty easy to use. And again, it's not, you know, it's not something that you want to use for factual, you know, take it to the bank kind of coverage things, but it's great for just really simple scratch pad. What if I did this? What could I expect kind of thing?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And that's free. You do need to sign up for an account at nautel.com to get into that section, if I'm not mistaken. But the tools are there. Links to the videos are there. Manuals, of course. White papers. So lots of good information at nautel.com. Thanks a lot, Nautel, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. All right. Kirk Harnack, Chris Tarr, and Curtis Maychek is our guest today. Curtis, okay. Elevator speech time. Tell us about what in the world are you doing now after your success with the broadcast logger in the cloud, which I thought was crazy, but of course it was genius. Thank God I'm not in charge of, you know, genius. What are you working on now these days?
Well, a few years ago, I put together a program called Text Groove, and we are essentially a, you know, on a base level, we're a messaging provider for radio stations, but our software solutions have got a ton of different things built in for broadcasters to increase their engagement, to do contests, unique and innovative contests and promotions and things like that, all through texting using SMS messaging, basically, which is funny because it's kind of new ways of using a very old technology. Texting, of course, started in the late 80s, early 90s when it was first invented. So we basically put a very pretty coat of paint on a very old technology and built some really cool tools that are helping broadcasters to build digital engagement. And digital engagement is such an important thing with in broadcasts these days, you know, being able to engage your listeners not just through the headphones the car stereo, not just through the transmitter, but also online and over other platforms. Being able to tap into that audience is very important these days.
I'm sure we'll get into not AI, but we'll get into, you know, the right way to use this. Cause you know, I've obviously got a phone. Sometimes I'm at a retailer and I'll sign up for some discount program they have, or a one-time discount, or I'll be alerted to specials. If I sign up for their texting, that's what they want. They want my phone number and my permission to receive texts. And Chris, let's you and I talk about the good and the bad side of this. Then we'll let Curtis address, you know, yes, and here's how you do it right. I signed up for there's a shop here in Nashville. Actually, they're kind of regional. They hand make soap, right? Bars of soap in their shop, and they may have all these different flavors and scents and colors. And I love the stuff. I mean, I'm not a fancy bathroom kind of guy, but man, they have these soaps that are really nice and smell good. And I just feel like I'm getting real clean and adds just a little bit of pizzazz to the shower, you know? And so they had a sign up sheet. Hey, if you sign up for our texting, then we'll tell you about discounts. Well, they started out sending me, I don't know, about one a week or every other week. And I would get reminded, oh yeah, I should go there next time I need some soap. But then it got to be a little out of hand. And I think they're texting me almost every day now. And finally I had to say, stop. Chris, what's been your experience? You do anything similar to that?
I do. I look at texting for me as a very personal thing. I don't give out, I don't accept text messages from just anybody. And very rarely do I even sign up for text lists, unless it's something that, is like if I order something for pickup online, order something online for pickup, it lets me know it's ready, that sort of thing. I don't often accept marketing text messages because to me, with a text message, it's kind of a sense of urgency. Like, there is something from somebody that I know that we need to talk about and be addressed right now. What I have found in the past, I was intrigued by text marketing, and I signed up for a couple of places that I enjoy, and it got to be the same way that you're talking about, where it was very indiscriminate. And if you're going to text me for something, make sure that it's really something that I want to see. To sit there and just text me, hey, 20% off of everything, big deal. That, you know, that can be an email or something. But if you know that, you know, I really like beef jerky, you know, go, hey, you know, 20% off beef jerky today, I'm all in for that. But I think we're so inundated with messages now that, especially with something private, like a text message, very personal, that you really have to be careful to be very selective about the messages.
Well, I would agree with that. And I'm sure that Curtis, who's now in this business of engagement, and at least some of that via text messages, Curtis, maybe you can address some of what we just said and some more intelligence that would go behind a broadcaster using SMS text technology.
Well, you know, what I thought was really interesting was something you said, Chris, with you said it's a very personal thing to you, texting. It's something that you do with your friends. And a relationship between a broadcaster on air and a listener is that of a friendly relationship. When you think about how a listener interacts with a broadcaster, typically it is on social media and in their car. And usually if they're in their car, they're talking the broadcaster's mentality is that broadcaster is talking one-on-one to that person. So you've got a person that is essentially very connected personally to that broadcaster. That's kind of what we thought about when we started working in texting. And I was working in broadcast at the time. I was working in radio, doing engineering, doing promotions. I was kind of the jack of all trades because I'm in we're based here in Victoria, BC, which is not a big city. It's about 400,000 people. And when you work in radio in a city of about 400,000, you often wear many hats. So I was kind of working in all these different things. And I was like, there's got to be a good way to use text to engage our audience. And when I built it, you know, I was like, we want to do this the friendly way. We want to have a conversation with the audience. We want to make sure that the audience is getting replies to all the texts. So we don't want it to necessarily be a blast message out that everyone gets, but we want that audience member to be able to interact with us individually as broadcasters and get replies. So that's kind of where broadcasters can utilize texting really well, is in that one-to-one connection that is personal, because a radio station's phone doesn't ring that often anymore, especially in music radio. You know, it's very difficult to get the phones ringing. And that's not necessarily because people don't want to call and talk to the radio station. It's because that's not how friends communicate anymore. If you want to talk to your friend, if I was, you know, wanting to connect with a buddy and ask him if he wants to go out for dinner on Friday or for drinks after work, I'm not going to give him a call. I'm going to text him. And that relationship, building that relationship between a broadcaster and an audience, is really powerful and a great way for that station to connect with the audience, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I got to believe you, Curtis, you're in this business of connecting people, and texting certainly is the way, or the primary way that you do that. If you would, and we can go into more depth as the show goes on, but I really want to try to understand some best practices in this endeavor. I'm part owner of 14 radio stations, and frankly, I don't want to hear from any of them because it's always a problem when they call me. but you know what? There are a few radio hosts, either national or local, that if they've got something to say today that maybe is different than usual, because I kind of know what to expect from them. You know, I wouldn't mind being alerted that one of my favorite, typically a talk show host, or maybe hey, they're going to have a comedian who I like on the show, and they may have this comedian on fairly regularly. I mean, most cities of our size have a Zanies or a laugh type comedy club. Hey, if James Gregory, the funniest man in America, is going to be at Zanies, but he's going to be on the morning show on a radio station, yeah, I might like to know about that. I guess what I'm getting at, Curtis, is some granularity or understanding my preferences. So anyway, what do you have to say about best practices if you know nothing about your audience? And can you get into a little bit of AI where I get the texts that I'm more likely to be interested in?
Yeah, you know, the idea of using artificial intelligence to impact your text campaigns is really interesting, and it's something that our R&D team here has been working on, trying to figure out different ways to tap in. We are, you know, we've got a messaging club product that allows you to have listeners subscribe to be able to receive outbound messages, and I think that's kind of the next logical step is using that. Best practices as far as texting for radio is. And not just radio, this is any business that wants to utilize texting as part of their strategy. You know, you really don't want to inundate the audience with a lot of messages. Even one message a week can sometimes be too much if the content is not correct, you know. Being able to really dial in exactly who that message can go to and what it should say and how it says it and that what that person that's reading it is going to feel when they see that message is really important in coming up with your strategy. It's not just a best practice too. The carriers, they don't want to see texting becoming like your email box. You know, the fact that your email inbox gets filled with tons and tons and tons of emails that just end up in spam or just get deleted. I mean, I'm looking at my inbox right now. I have a promotions folder that has 21,000 emails in it that are unread that I will never read. if you open up your phone and look at your texting app, how many unread messages do you have? And the reality is probably not a lot.
Yeah. I got no unread really, messages in my text. Yeah.
Exactly. And the carriers want to keep it that way. They want to make sure that you're getting 100% open rate, 100% read rate on text. So when we're approving campaigns and working with the, you know, AT&T and T-Mobile and Verizon to make sure that campaigns are correct, you have to be really careful to not be that spammer that is constantly going out, because that's a quick way to get stopped out, where if, you know, listener stopped out is what we say, where a listener replies stop and you have to cease all texting. That there's a balance of really what you want to be sending and how you send it, and there is no correct answer. You know, a lot of times it's going to be just list management, finding the right, you know, putting out a keyword to get people to subscribe to receive certain things. But even then, those things don't have to be often. You know, sometimes it's pre-sale codes for concerts. That could be once every 3 or 4 weeks, and that's appropriate. That's not going to drive the listener crazy. That's information that they want to hear. It's something that benefits them. That is a great text campaign. Something that is, a daily blast telling you who's going to be on the show that morning, that might not be as useful and not be a good thing to have.
Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we're talking to Curtis Maycheck. He is CEO of TextGroove. He's in the radio business and works with radio people all the time. When we come back, I'm going to ask Curtis about a radio station that I know of that was sending out about 411 texts every day. And I think that's probably the wrong way to do it. So that's coming up. Our show This Week in Radio Tech with Kirk Harnack and Chris Tarr. We're brought to you in part by our friends at Broadcast Bionics. We're going to hear from them and be right back.
Welcome to the Bionic Studio. The Bionic Studio brings all audience interaction to the fingertips of a production team in radio, TV, and podcast. Our workflow-led system is working 24/7 around the world for small broadcasters and national and international networks. Our telephony module, Bionic Talk Show, allows cost-effective centralization, remote operation, scalability, and resilience across an entire network of stations, but at the same time is used in single-studio self-op environments. Social media curation and activity is now considered a broadcast critical part of programming. Bionic Social means the studio isn't overwhelmed with a wall of interaction from an ever-growing number of social platforms. We combine SMS, MMS, and email together with a speech-to-text service for listeners using smart speakers. We enable studio teams to curate, filter, and display all platforms in one place, and post text, images, and video content to multiple platforms in one operation. Effortless collection of video content with Bionic Director has helped position some of the world's most successful stations as leaders in viral content, generating appointments to listen and free marketing via retweets and shares. Bionic Contest enables end-to-end tracking of on-air competitions, live reads, and prizes. These could be on-air contests, automated SMS entry, or online. Anywhere, and Skype TX for Radio brings high-quality audio and video contribution into the studio with ease. No need for dedicated PCs to run different applications. Everything is controlled within the Bionic Studio UI. And incoming connections are visible to users along with all other platforms. Our codec integration enables connection, algorithm configuration, and directory to a wide range of IP and ISDN codecs. The Bionic Studio, a unique suite of products designed to enable your talent to work smarter.
Thanks a lot, Bionic, Broadcast Bionics, for sponsoring our show. And you ought to contact them because they make some cool stuff that actually works with our guests' stuff, and in that you can make content that people want to go see, whether it's short social media clips, short videos, directing you to your live stream, telling you about contests or winners of contests, whatever it may be. And Broadcast Bionics can help you get that done. Plus all the other technical things they talked about, like live contribution, the camera switching, Camera One app. It's lots of cool stuff. At bionic.radio is one way to get there, bionic.radio. Thank you, Broadcast Bionics, for sponsoring our show. We're glad to have you as a partner and making radio better through all these different means. And Bionics points out one thing. We don't need to work harder. Of course, we need to work smarter. We need to keep doing the things we're doing and just have these extra content producing systems working for us and with us so that these things can be created basically automatically and be pushed out to social media. All right. It's Kirk Harnack, Chris Tarr, and Curtis Maycheck is our guest. Curtis is the CEO over at Text Groove. They got a website, textgroove.com. All right, Curtis, before the show,
I was just going to say your sponsor there that reminded me, but I have to reach out to them because we have an integration with them that we have built. And I was looking at the screen. I was like, oh yeah, we have to finalize that. So that's just made me laugh. I'm reading that. Oh yeah. Adding things to my to-do list.
There you go. Good. They're good folks. I've known them for years. Been to their place too, over in England. And
they're a lot of fun. I love working with Broadcast Bionics. Great people.
Yeah. They've been partners with my employer, Telus Alliance, for quite a few years now on a number of projects. They work together well with the radio and they get it. A few years ago, I think I've got my story straight here. A few years ago, our little stations, the ones in Greenville, Mississippi, we had a general manager who's just excited about social media and getting things integrated. And he was a little overboard and somehow he came up with a plan that if you would text us and join in our music club for one of our stations, I think it was WIQQ, we call it Q102, we would text you what song was playing. And we would do that about every 3.5 minutes, 24 hours a day. And I'm thinking, I signed up for it and I started getting texts. I thought, whoa, no, this is not what we want to do. There are about 400. If you take a 3.5 minute song, and I know songs are maybe longer than that nowadays, but there's 411.
Shorter than that. Quite a bit shorter. Yeah.
Oh, they're shorter? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
If you
run a song that's 3 minutes long, it's crazy. TikTok and those other social media companies have really dialed in that it's a song has a hook and they repeat it three or four times. And you're out. Next song.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's 411 such 3.5 minute slots in a 24 hour period.
There's a good example of how to do texting bad. Like, that's not a good way to do it.
Chris is sitting there like disbelieving. Oh my God. What are you people in Mississippi doing? We don't know. That's the problem. So
I'm surprised you have texting in Mississippi.
we got gasoline and cars and motor oil and everything down there. We got indoor plumbing in our stations. All right, Curtis, if that was the wrong way to do it, talk to me about some best practices and maybe even a case example.
Well, you know, I like to use, there's one case example I really like, and it's a station here in Canada, actually. They've been doing texting in for radio in an engagement way. So when I say engagement, I talk about, there's two different ways of doing texting. One where you have listeners opt in to subscribe to receive messages. The other way is listener driven, where you just put it out there that your listeners can text you, and you give them things to text about, and you give them things to talk about, and you make them the star of their own text in program, kind of like talk radio almost did, when you do open phones and you can have whatever people want to talk about or whatever they want to contribute to the topic, they can phone in. There's a station here in Canada called Now Radio in Edmonton, and I've been a fan of Now Radio ever since they launched. I want to say it was right around 2009-2010 that they launched, and they were a brand new license in Edmonton. And they took the content, the idea of just content for radio being listener driven, and they kind of what they did was they just put it out there. You know, the hosts could talk for as long as they want. The music, I'm sure it was a well-oiled machine, but to the audience and to the untrained ear, it would seem like it was all over the place. There was kind of, rock music, there was some pop music, there was some 80s, some 90s, it was kind of everywhere. The hosts, like I said, they could talk for as long as they want. They could put conversations out there. But the idea was that every text message they received would get a reply, a personal reply from the host or from someone in the station would be sending replies out. And they would read most of the text. So every text message that would come in might get read on air. And they're still doing this to this day. 13 years later, they have been number one in Edmonton almost that entire time in their target demo. They are a station that I'm sure is extremely high billing because they've got a full staff. They're very, for a local station in a city of, it's a million people, but that's a pretty big city here in Canada. A little over a million people. They've got a staff, probably an on-air staff of, I think, 9 or 10 people. And they've got dual person shows throughout the day. So you've got two people to chat with and to talk with. And what you end up with is this, this format that is just listener driven. And it's hard to describe without actually having you listen to it. But if you're watching this now and you're like, I want to take a look at this, it's called Now Radio. They're in Edmonton and they are an incredible, incredible format, that just showcases listener driven engagement, and they do it all digitally through their website, through texting. They've got a cool app on their website that actually shows you every message that is coming in. It's a really cool use case and a really cool case study of texting done right for radio.
I have heard of this station before, 102.3 Now Radio in Edmonton, and in fact, yeah, on the on their website, which is 1023nowradio.com, you can see real time or close to real time the texting that goes back and forth. Now, there's got to be some scrubbing of the texting so that certain things don't make it to public distribution.
Oh, I'm sure there's got to be something in the background that's checking for profanity and other filters. But as far as I know, the stuff that comes in gets displayed in mostly real time. And you can test it too if you've got a cell phone, because you can just send them a text and you'll see your text pop up on their website. And it's such a cool, unique thing.
Wow. Interesting. I know that I've been chatting with Dan McQuillan over at Broadcast Bionics, where they have a method of establishing a sentiment for communications for and text being one type, with the most popular kind of communication back and forth, and they can perhaps categorize where texts are, so that they can be counted and categorized, and so the station can look at these texts on a more statistical basis to see what are people talking about, what are they saying positive things about, what are they saying negative things about. Is that kind of analysis and maybe even AI becoming available to broadcasters?
It is, yeah. There are platforms out there that allow you to sort of measure that. It's not something that we do per se at the moment, but those sort of platforms that are available to broadcasters are really powerful, because you can identify very specific triggers Especially if you've got certain programming that's happening on air and you are generating engagement, it might be really good for talk programming where you've got listeners texting in all the time. If you could compare when you received certain, you know, sentiments of text or certain when you received the most text with what was actually happening on air at the time, you know, you can see what really drives that engagement, and you can actually measure that. Being able to measure, you know, the number of messages you're receiving, the amount of engagement that's happening, being able to measure that's really powerful for an audience. And that's something that's great about digital engagement, because when you're sending something over a transmitter and it's going out to radios, it's tough to tell what's actually happening on the other end. But when you're using digital platforms such as social media, such as messaging, whether it be texting or otherwise, Twitter, Facebook, things like that, you are able to measure all of this. And those measurable things that happen that you are able to measure end up being able to drive your strategies on air and for your digital engagement as well.
This is really interesting. Chris, I'd like to get your thoughts. You know, for decades and decades in broadcasting, we had only a couple of ways to measure our success. Of course, we could listen instantly and decide, do we think we're doing a good job? You know, the engineer would listen, does my station sound good? Is it punchy? Is the frequency response there? Am I getting out properly? Is it free of interference? A program director would listen and would think, that was a good break by the disc jockey, or that was not so good. I need to call him in and we need to talk about, you know, his, you know, the next time he does this kind of contest or break. And then there was the ratings, which, you know, now are quicker, but in years past, it's been diary based. So it takes a while to get the answers back. Are you doing a good job? Or are you not doing a good job? So it was a lot of gut, and we were broadcasting. We were casting our best efforts out into the ether. For people to hear, and we'd only get, you know, the kind of feedback that I mentioned. Chris, you've experienced that. Compare that with how things are now or how they could be with quicker feedback from the audience.
Well, first of all, you got to remember with ratings, they're not how you're doing, they're how you did. You always get ratings after the fact. Yeah. And you don't really know at this moment what you're doing. I think the inherent issue right now with social media and text platforms is you've got the management who says, "Ooh, we need to do a Facebook." And, you know, they get into this. And you know, I remember seeing, you know, email, you know, or mandates like everything has to have a picture with it because then we get on the timeline quicker. And, you know, especially texting and things like that, it becomes a throwaway because it's, well, how many texts can we get to monetize this? So they're not really wanting to truly engage people. They just want the numbers. And, you know, what we were just talking about before with Now Radio, I think that is the stations that get it, the people that get it are doing those sorts of things. It's not a numbers game. It's a relationship game. And once the relationships start, the numbers will come. But, you know, so many times it's text da 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 to enter our contest. Well, that's not really engaging anybody. That's doing a contest. You know, same thing with, you know, talk shows or morning shows that say, well, what do you think? Text us at blah, 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 blah. And then they move on. They don't actually talk about what was texted or anything else. It's just kind of a throwaway to, you know, to get those numbers to say, hey, look at all the numbers we have. It's just like with Facebook posts, look at all the engagement we have. But it's really kind of fake engagement because you're gaming the system. And, you know, okay, so you posted a cute dog picture. Yeah, you're going to get engagement. Well, what does that have to do with your relationship with your listeners? You know, because what's happening is this stuff, you know, if it goes viral, it spreads all over the country to people who don't listen to your radio station and really don't even pay attention to where that content came from. It just is passed on and on and on. So, long story short, you know, it's great in terms of kind of a relationship builder. I don't know that I would use it directly to say how we're doing because it's easy enough to game that and, you know, make those numbers tell a story that isn't really there. So it's kind of my two cents on that.
Well, you've been talking about. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kirk.
No, I was going to dovetail right back over to you. Chris mentioned the word engagement a couple times, and there may be a couple different meanings of the word engagement. So, Curtis, go ahead and complete your thought, and then let's talk for a minute about what are some of the rules of engagement. Obviously, tweeting out the name of every song you're playing all day long is a no-no rule. Maybe you could give us some other basic rules, but go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I was going to just say, with regards to, texting and doing it right, and that which then drives the numbers, is what you sort of said there, Chris. That's absolutely correct. A radio station that just goes and asks people to text in and never actually does anything with those texts, it might not necessarily end up being, seeing the results of that. It's one thing to have that, good response or that number that you can have a bunch of people texting in for a great prize, and that's great. You can then turn around and sell that that number to your advertisers and say, yes, we got this. But you're kind of right. It might be fake in a sense that it's just one thing, and you're not really building that relationship. The stations like Now Radio that are taking the time to build that relationship, they're replying to all the text messages, they're putting the audience member first, they're building that relationship that that audience member can't get from somebody else. They're going to see those numbers over time increase. And that's kind of what I see when I look at the Now Radio ratings. I see their ratings of having been number one for so long, and other stations in town not really being able to try to tackle that and hit that. And take them down. It's a good example of where they've put it first and done that first, and then now they're they're reaping the benefits, if you will. It's really interesting. Anyways, I think you're right. That absolutely is correct. And Kirk, I know you want to talk a bit about the rules of engagement, and I there are definitely a lot of rules around texting. That's for sure.
I know that different companies hire social media directors, and I don't know how you. Well, I don't know how you vet somebody like that, because I guess the point I'm getting at is that I've seen companies hire a social media director and they start putting out the most ridiculous social media stuff that they think is engaging. And I know, you're not talking to your audience. This is not interesting to your audience. I don't know how I know, and maybe I'm wrong too. Maybe I'm just as wrong as I think the person is. What are some of the golden rules for what you post, no matter where it may be, that your audience will go, yeah, okay, they're not selling me something directly. I mean, it's not a pitch. It's something I'm interested in that I'm going to look at and find out about. How do you get into that target zone and maybe even the sweet spot?
Well, it's interesting that how you say, the audience is interested in what they see and what they find interesting. If you saw that post happen and those posts started happening and you said, oh, this is not engaging, well, maybe you weren't the target audience. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, being able to generate engagement in a particular audience space and in a with that audience is something that is almost there are certain golden rules, but it changes all the time with the platforms. They're constantly changing their algorithms. So it comes down to building what is ultimately engaging content, stuff that people want to click on, stuff that people want to see. Right now, the trend is short videos, vertical videos that are optimized mm-hmm. for mobile that are 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds long for a short story. It's like viral, shareable content. What I've found is if I like one or two of my local radio hosts' content, I'm going to see that as a local person that has liked their content before. I'm going to get that content delivered to me all the time. So being consistent is one of the sort of big rules right now is just making sure that you're constantly putting stuff out there. And making sure you do it, keep it to a schedule. So if you're doing a short little video every day, you have to keep at it every day, because the algorithm, for me, if I like something and I've seen something pop up on my social media and I've liked it and engaged with it, their algorithm is going to show me another one of those from the same person. So being able to identify what your audience wants, utilize the platform's algorithms to your own personal gain, and then just be consistent with it is kind of the key to success with digital engagement these days, especially on social media.
Well, I think, you know, one of the struggles we have in radio is that, you know, we hire these social managers, and it's all about gaming the algorithm. And, you know, you need to be aware of that and you need to know how it works. But on the other hand, if you have good content, the rest of it isn't going to matter, because that means that you're working with the algorithm by having that content. you know, a great example of how ridiculous it can get is there was a station that had the cutest pet contest, which of course, you know, is on Facebook. What do you know? You get a lot of people engaging with that, posting pictures of their animals and lots of likes and everything else, but they don't come back. After that contest is over, that's it. So anytime their social media started to slow down, they would literally do a cutest pet contest to keep that going. And it's like, well, you know, if you just had something interesting on there, it would take care of itself. You know, speaking of the videos, I saw something today just in my timeline from the Woody Show. And we carry the Woody Show on a couple of our stations, but I don't follow them or anything. But it was, you know, again, it got passed around and there's their watermark on there. And so obviously that was something that naturally got shared. And instead of trying to force the algorithm, it was something they were talking about on the air and they posted. And that's where I think a lot of social media managers kind of fall short is, you know, they spend so much time figuring out how to beat the algorithms that they forget that just, you know, work on some content, you know, work on producing something that people want to interact with instead of going, okay, you know, let's find something that we know. Oh, cute pets. People like those, but it has nothing to do with what you're doing on the air.
Yeah. There's a station I listen to, in Seattle sometime, and their morning show is called Moog and Angie. And Moog and Angie every day take the best one of the best clips of their show. It's a short, you know, 30 to 60 second clip, and they film their whole show, so they've got the whole show to look back through and be like, oh, that was kind of a fun short little clip, and it was the best shareable content. And what they do is they upload that video every day right after their show. So what you end up with is a collection of what is decent content, because they're picking the best. They're picking the scoping the best thing from their show. They're putting that online. And what ended up happening was I got it shared through, one of them went viral and it came through to me and I liked it. But the algorithm then worked in their favor after that. So it's a bit of a combination of both to really dial it in. You know, if you build that good quality content that's shareable that people want to see, you're going to end up with those initial clicks. But after that, because they're local to me, they're pretty close. I listen to them all the time. Because of that, and I liked one or two of their videos, now every day when I log into Facebook, their uploaded video is one of the ones that I get served, whether it be Facebook or TikTok or any of these platforms.
The great thing about the video is that that also encourages engagement, because, you know, I'm going to guess that the clips that they put are something, you know, funny or intelligent or whatever, that's thought provoking or whatever. And their listeners are on Facebook talking about that. You know, here's a way for them to engage back. And that's where the algorithm kicks in and does those things. And that's a natural piece of content that promotes your radio station. If you're not a listener and you happen across that because it's a local page or something like that. And I know, you know, Facebook will do that too. If it knows where you live, if something local is trending, you'll start to see that on your timeline. Now you're really doing something with the algorithm rather than just posting cute animal pictures.
Exactly. Yeah. No, once you are able to dial it in, and you can combine those different strategies of consistency, of quality, and of utilizing that algorithm, you know, you can really dial it in and get it done really well.
I'm not sure what I have done, but somehow I have gotten Facebook to show me everything that Chris Tarr does every day, and it's a little scary.
I'm sorry about that.
How can I dial that back a little bit without unfriending Chris? Everything from manholes to Blaze to Chippewa Falls. There's a lot in there.
All the way.
All right. Hey, we got to take a quick break and hear from a couple of really cool broadcast people. One of those is Angry Audio. And with me here on the show is a fellow named Chris Tarr, who is now the new official, unofficial, sorry, not sorry, the spokesperson for Angry Audio. Chris, what can you tell us about Angry Audio today?
He's really smart.
Chris, yeah, Rich Rumored, yeah.
So one thing I want to talk about today is when you're in charge of as many stations as I am, you know, I've got a great team and we work really hard, but we've got 25 full power stations and another probably 15 translators. And we start to centralize a lot of our technology. So for example, we have a new station we're putting on the air and the playout machine is actually going to be 4 hours away in a different building. That we've kind of hardened up as our tech center. We do a lot of radio in the cloud stuff. However, that doesn't always work. And so I'm always looking for solutions. And the bigger issue here is that I don't have time to homebrew solutions. I would love to, but I need something that works right out of the box and does what it needs to do. For example, this project that I'm working on now, we need to be able to have a fail-safe way of getting audio on the air if our cloud link goes down. Well, here comes Angry Audio with their fail-safe gadget. It's fantastic. You put in, just like any other, you know, fail-safe box, you put in A and B audio. You can set the delay. You can set the timeout. And if you lose the audio from one device, it switches over. And it will detect when the other side comes back on and it switches back again. So, you know, it helps you. That's that one extra thing. I don't have to put together a relay box and, you know, remote control stuff. This box is all in one and it has logic connection. So if you want to have something even start, like if you had a remote system, playout system that you wanted to start with this gadget, you could do that. Now, like all of Angry Audio's devices, this is meant to live in a transmitter site. If you need it, it's built in these nice steel boxes. By the way, the industrial design of Angry Audio is fantastic. Everything they make are in these rugged boxes. But again, it's one of those things that you can set it and you can forget it. And for guys like me in the trenches, that is fantastic because I don't have time to worry about if a box is going to work or not work. I want to be able to put it in there and make it work. So if you're like me and you're out there, you know, running all over the place and you need a solution, Angry Audio is the place to go, be it the fail-safe gadget or the headphone adapters, all of that stuff. They're here to make your life easier. So when you get frustrated, don't get frustrated, get angry. Angry Audio. Check them out at angryaudio.com. You can also get them from your favorite broadcast supply dealer.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks, Angry Audio, for sponsoring our show. Also, Max Connect Wireless. I think somebody's going to pop in right here on video and talk to you about why this is important to their operations.
With all of the recent cybersecurity attacks against large corporations, we were looking for a product that would give us the ultimate in security at our transmitter sites and as well as with our broadcast equipment. Max Connect fits the bill very well. Its greatest security feature is the fact that it gives you a single static IP address. Using this single static IP address allows us to close hundreds of open ports on our firewalls across the company and restrict access to only the Max Connect IPs. This has greatly reduced our exposure to the World Wide Web and made us much more secure moving forward. It's also given us the ability to expand as needed in a secure fashion.
John Tocock just talked about getting internet and connectivity at transmitter sites, and you know, more and more sites probably have internet available to them by, you know, more normal commercial means. But if yours doesn't, Max Connect Wireless is a great way to go for that. Also, you want to keep one of these in your toolbox to go do live remote broadcasts where things may be really busy and your phone or other hotspot gets overwhelmed, or you know, the cell site gets overwhelmed with other people using data. And this can be a real problem. It was a problem literally 10, 12 years ago when I started doing this, and it's a problem still today. So check out Max Connect Wireless. You can go to their website at maxconnect.com or maxconnectwireless.com. It's spelled funny, so we have a link in the show notes. And you can sign up with your favorite carrier. Check out the carrier's coverage areas where you broadcast from, where you need their service to work. And the folks at Max Connect Wireless will hook you up with your favorite carrier with the best coverage. And then you can get prioritized data for your broadcast operations. Again, whether it's back end, getting in your transmitter site, backup STL, or doing live remote broadcasts. And folks here in Nashville that I know do that almost every single week. Thanks a lot, Max Connect Wireless, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. Well, it's Kirk Harnack, Chris Tarr, and Curtis Maycheck is along with us. Curtis is CEO of Text Groove. It says that right there on his shirt when we got the wide shot going on. There, other side, there you go. All right. Well, we've talked about a number of things, including best practices. Curtis, I think I've got a couple. I've gone to a different email now. What should people know from this point? What kind of engagement? How you promised early in the show that TextGroove can improve engagement, however you may define that, maybe improve time spent listening, get people to sample your station when maybe they've forgotten to or they're busy. How does that work? You know, just giving people a reason to tune back in, take a moment out, put your radio on, and go back to whatever else you were doing, but have your radio on while you're doing it. What are some of the things that you're trying to get listeners to do who may not have the radio on at that moment? Oh, Curtis, you're muted, buddy.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
No worries. We all do.
If you're going to be doing outbound campaigns and texting campaigns, then it is absolutely imperative that you just don't do it often. You know, you don't want to be driving the listener crazy, as we touched on earlier. But there are ways that you can use texting to increase that. You know, things like time spent listening. I always bring it back to trying to build a relationship with the audience and do it the right way, rather than just doing that one hit of, you know, trying to get people to text in. If you are able to build that relationship with the audience individually and increase that over time, you're going to increase your time spent listening because people want to be engaged with their friends. They want to be the radio station being their friend. They want that to spend that time with you. They want to be a part of that station, and that's why it works so well when you do it right. You know, when you take the time to make sure that everyone's getting a reply to your messages, when you make sure that everyone's feeling heard, when you showcase that content that you're generating on the air, and make the listener the star. That is, that's really ultimately it. It works to the listener's ego. They want to experience that, and because of that, they're going to spend more time listening to the station. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. One thing we talked about, and what I've seen in the small markets where my radio stations are, is we've had a salesperson or two leave our station sales staff and go to work for a company that sells text advertising, right? And well, we were sad to lose that salesperson, but it sure had us thinking, I wonder if we should sell that, because we at the radio station, we actually know about good advertising. We understand good advertising campaigns. Not that every advertiser lets us do that. You know, some advertisers still want us to mention their phone number three times, even though it's a restaurant. No.
Oh my gosh.
Why waste? You know, we got fresh biscuits on Tuesday, but Thursdays were closed at noon because Madeline goes and has her dialysis. You know,
there's a writer in town here. I'm pretty sure most of the local businesses, they all have friendly and knowledgeable staff. Every single one of them.
All one of them. And fall is around the corner. So visit the friendly folks and check them out online at www.ourwebsitehere.com.
Yeah, and follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
And the fall is just around the corner. Ad will still be running in late November.
Yeah, probably.
It's that time of year again.
It's that time of year. You know, oh my gosh.
You know,
you're hitting them all, Chris.
It's funny. We We have folks that that actually use TextGroove and are actually selling it to their local clients to increase their own station's revenue, because they're just kind of doing a reseller thing. Because there's features within TextGroove that are great for radio, but also great for other companies and local clients. So, you know, we've got broadcasters here in Canada that have, the sales teams have heard about this and said, how can we use this? How can we use this to benefit our own clients? So we've, the example I like to give is one of the stations resold our system to a food truck. And what they did was they allowed their listeners to not their listeners per se, but the food truck customers to text in a word to subscribe to receive messages from the food truck. And what they do is once or twice a week, they will send out a text with just their location, where we're going to be set up, and they do it throughout the food truck season, which is basically, you know, May through end of September. April, May through end of September. And just through the food truck season, they send out text messages to the subscriber list. That's really useful to those subscribers, because those subscribers aren't going to subscribe unless they're big fans of that food truck. And if I know that that food truck is going to be set up a couple blocks away here, I'm going to walk over there for lunch that day. And I can, if I get that message that morning saying they're going to be there, I'm going to know that they're going to be there. It's a really good way for them to market it. It's not for every business, but it worked really well for them. And the radio station was able to sell this to them, and the radio station was able to keep that them as a client, use this as an extra benefit to complement their advertising campaign that they had sold them as well, and really drive their marketing strategy as a business.
I'd like to hear from a food truck, especially if it's an irregular schedule or a semi-irregular schedule. Like if the food trucks park downtown or somewhere every other Wednesday, I ain't going to remember that. I need to be reminded of that. So I would sign up for an irregular. Now, if it was every Wednesday, I think I got that in my head. That's okay. I can deal with that. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, I've seen the texts, and you know, the typical thing is that they're set up different places all summer long. So it's a really good way to get that message out, in addition to social media, in addition to other ways for that client to get that message out. So what ended up happening was you ended up with a really good platform that was able to be sold to the food truck by the radio station, and that radio station could keep that revenue and keep it in house and then bolster it as well. So you ended up with they ended up with a really good way to sort of increase revenues across the board, and then also, you know, utilizing the platform themselves to build that audience out and build their audience and make it larger. So, you know, there's so many different ways, and digital engagement just these days is so important with radio in any way, using these platforms, because and not just ours, I'm talking about social media, I'm talking about other digital engagements, tie it in with your email marketing campaigns. If you can tie everything together and in really flush out your strategy, you're going to beat the guys that aren't doing that.
On the one hand, it sounds it could be complicated. There's plenty of places for people to make mistakes, but I guess, is that part of what TextGroove does? Can you guys help people to do it right instead of letting them fail?
Yeah, we do. And something that we've always wanted we want anyone that uses our platform to make sure that they're getting the most out of everything. So what we always offer is support for anyone who's on platform that needs to know about best practices. We're happy to schedule phone calls with our clients. And we do on a regular basis have kind of phone calls to just go over their strategy and talk about what they're doing. Because, you know, if we can help them, that's good for them. That's good for us. It's a two-way street. So that's why I've always taken that approach with any of my businesses that I've worked on.
Well, I do know that, you know, I've signed, as I said at the top of the show, I've signed up for things and then gotten plenty of reminders for, you know, no, I don't need more soap today. The last time I was there, I bought $60 worth of soap. I'm covered for a while. Yeah. And it might be interesting. I bought a lot from this retailer. Maybe they think I'm going to be in real often to buy a lot, but no, I'm not. Talk to me a little bit about rules. I noticed that from retailers, you know, I do get, reply stop to stop these messages. I take it that must be required by law.
Yeah. So in both countries, Canada and the US, you legally have to stop all messaging if you receive the word stop back from the end user. When you get stop in, it's basically an opt-out consent. They're revoking all consent to text them. Every text messaging platform that is any good will automatically block listeners and remove that consent or take that out if prevent you from texting them. Being able to make sure that happens is something that's very important when you're looking at a partner for SMS engagement and SMS campaigns. So you'll want to make sure that's happened. When you're opting people in, double opt-ins are always required as well. So that's not just asking someone if they want to receive messages, but once you've sent, you then send them the terms of your campaign and say, hey, you're going to receive X number of messages a week, and then, or up to X number of messages a week, reply yes to opt in. That's really important as well, because then you've actually got express consent that's double confirmed by the listener to be able to send that those listeners texts, and that's super important as far as being able to send certain things out. You want to always avoid short links, short URLs, things that spammers would typically use, things like Bitly used by a lot of spammers. You want to avoid all of that always.
I'll put your real link.
So there's a number of different rules.
Okay.
And then the only other thing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just the one more thing is just like content too. You can't, there's like gambling, alcohol, things like that, not allowed. So you can't use any of those sort of things in content, but otherwise it's a pretty open game that you're allowed to use if you follow the rules.
Interesting. I bet content is interesting. If I run a tavern and I want to make people aware of whatever, I guess I can talk about, a game that's going on, as long as it's not a gambling game, or some entertainment at my tavern or a food special. Maybe that would work. Hey, tell you what, this kind of dovetails real well into engaging your active listeners, those who call into your station on the telephone, and putting together quick, active, great sounding phoners. And here's St. John to tell you about that from VoxPro.
Hey, what's happening? St. John here, coming to you from Command Central, and wanted to tell you about the absolute best partner you can have in radio. I'm talking about, boom, Wheatstone's VoxPro. Lots of different audio software out there. Why VoxPro? It's the only software designed to do what we needed to do, which is record, edit, playback in real time. When I say lightning fast, I'm going to show you how fast you can edit stuff up in VoxPro right now. Literally three clicks on the controller, mark left, mark right, everything that gets marked, you hit delete, it goes away. It's literally that fast. So we're going to take this part right here. Boom. From caller 9 to him saying, I'm ready.
Five. Ready for that secret sound.
Boom. All of that stuff, hit delete, it goes away. Here's your edit.
You are tackling secret sound, caller 9.
I'm ready, St. John.
One of the best features of version 7, this is awesome, it's effects macros, and you can literally put a chain of effects together so that instead of having to normalize a phone bit and then use noise reduction on it and EQ it and all that, you can literally build a chain. One button, this one's called call right here, I just click that, all of those processes happen instantaneously. Final thing that I love about VoxPro, and there's so much more to get into, but one of my favorite things, you can load it on a laptop. I've literally done my show from a hotel room in Armenia to the conference room at, this was fun, jury duty. Great thing, no one could tell the difference. VoxPro makes it totally easy. Telling you, if you're looking for the best on-air partner, call my friends at Wheatstone, ask them about VoxPro, and you will be glad you did.
Actually, contact Broadcasters General Store. They have VoxPro available for you at bgs.cc, or the best way is to give them a call. Give them a call at 352-622-7700, 352-622-7700. And even though Hurricane Ian is traveling through Florida, which is where Broadcasters General Store is, their workforce is pretty diversified. It's spread out. And so a lot of folks are working from home. No problem. So give them a call. at 352-622-7700. They will do their utmost, their very best for you to get you the broadcast equipment you want, including Vox Pro, just as quickly as possible. They're a pleasure to do business with. All right, it's Kirk Harnack, Chris Tarr, and Curtis Maycheck. We've got just a minute or two left. I'm sorry to get so short on time here. Chris Tarr, do you have a tip of the week for us before I toss it over to Curtis that I didn't warn him about for a tip of the week?
Yeah, you know what? I had one and I lost it, so I'm going to have to pass on this one.
Okay, no worries. I went down to my radio stations last weekend, and it seems like I should. Oh yeah, well, my tip of the week would be we've installed the inexpensive Wyze cameras at several of our transmitter sites. We've got them on all the interiors. We got the ones that pan and even follow a person, so we always get a good shot of the burglar walking around. And now we're starting to put them on the outside of the building as well. Much more boring shot, I think, but we might get some sunsets or maybe a burglar. And I was reminded by some folks in the Facebooks, hey, make sure that you put that camera up out of reach of a broomstick or something that a clever thief might be able to approach the building from the side and knock out or even cut the wire or whatever's going to the camera. So yeah, mine's up pretty high at the first site that I did, but that's good advice. Also, we have LED lighting inside our transmitter sites now, and it doesn't seem to attract bugs like we were afraid. So we leave the lights on 24/7. So we get nice color pictures from our Wyze cameras whenever we look into them. So Curtis, you got a tip of the week for us? What would you like for our listeners to walk away with remembering about what Curtis Maycheck had to say?
Well, we were talking about digital engagement earlier, and I'll piggyback off yours with regards to cameras. If you're ever building a studio, you need cameras in the studio these days. That is not an option anymore. So when you're doing your rebuilds or you're retrofitting your studios, make sure you've got a nice, easy way for your hosts to turn their breaks into social media clips. It should be as simple as pulling audio off the skimmer for them to be able to do that, because that will make their lives so much easier. It will make it so much easier for your station to increase their engagement digitally. That's the biggest tip that I would have for anyone wanting to get started in digital engagement online.
That's great advice. And I see studios. There's a Facebook group called I Take Pictures of Radio Studios, and a number of stations post their pictures there where they've designed the studio with good sight lines. So the monitors that the people have to look at are typically down low, or they're in a gulch that's between the tabletops. They use the mic arms that are the low rise mic arms that skim across the table just above the meter bridge on the console. And so the mics come up, but they're from below, but they don't cover up the face. So that's great advice. Lighting can be important too. It's good to have some lighting that is a little bit lower. People got to get used to. I've gotten used to the lighting that's almost in my eyes here, because the lighting overhead doesn't make your face look pretty. You got to have the lighting down a little bit. So anyway, things like good advice, Curtis. I'm glad you said that. And hey, go ahead and put the cameras in if you need to look at that. One of our sponsors, Broadcast Bionics, has a whole camera system called Camera One that takes care of recording clips and switching cameras for you automatically. Was there anything you wanted to add to that, Kurt?
It's an incredible product, that Broadcast Bionics Camera One system, because it does basically take your clips and just it can automatically mix them as well, so that whoever's talking is front and center. So all you have to do is take your clip and upload it. Really, it's pretty cool. I was in when I was in Chicago a few weeks ago for I went to Morning Show Boot Camp, and iHeart Radio showed us around their studios. They're building these new studios across the country. Every single one of them puts video first. There's beautiful lighting. There's awesome cameras, switchers right in the studio. It's a really cool thing that they're doing, and it's definitely the right direction to be taking.
Good deal. We got to go. Curtis, thank you so much for joining us, taking an hour and a half of your time to join Chris and I. And people want to contact you, it's what, textgroove.com, right?
You bet, textgroove.com, yeah. We've got, we just click on the radio button and we'll get you some information. If you're interested in texting for radio, we're always happy to chat.
Well, I'm glad you're making a business of this so that you can certainly establish for yourself and for your customers the best practices to get engaged. The idea is not to drive people away with too many tests or texts that don't apply to them, but to actually get this right and get people engaged in your broadcast. We got to go. Thanks to Chris Tarr for being with us. Thanks to Curtis Maycheck. And thanks to Suncast, our producer. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye.